We're going to go over to Newaygo County right now.
Run up to Frankenmuth, Michigan.
But we're going to run down to Birmingham right now, Birmingham, Michigan.
We're up at Northwood University. And
we'll go over to South Haven, Delaney, Eastern Michigan University.
You'll be hearing us from all over the place, but that's the beauty of this broadcast.
Now, from the studios in downtown Lansing, it's Chris Holman's Business Beat.
And we generally are all over the place, but we're back in our studios in Lansing right now. Welcome to the Michigan Business Beat. I'm Chris Holman, and we have Kevin Heinle with us right now. He's an attorney and a counselor with Brooks and Cushman in Southfield. And, you know, we ran into each other. It was kind of interesting at Automation Alley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we met after an Automation Alley presentation regarding an outlook for the future in economics in Michigan in particular.
Absolutely. And we presented the Michigan Future Business Index with that. And you were in the back of the room, and I stood back there with you, and we got chatting, and I said, you need to come down and talk about this, because a lot of what you do is patent-related, and patents are very, very important things.
Yes, and in fact, in the State of the Union addresses and all the ones that I've heard, I think, since Ronald Reagan, they've mentioned innovation as being a key to the United States' economic success. It's kind of the genie in the bottle that you rub and you hope you get something beneficial out of this innovation.
Yeah.
And you have to protect your innovation. Initially, innovation can be protected by trade secrets and entering into agreements with employers and with employees and with prototype manufacturers and things like that. And I've tried to focus more on protecting patents for small businesses. Small businesses don't have the huge R&D facilities that a Ford or a General Motors would have, so they have to use other companies and cooperate with other companies to develop new products.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to develop new products so that you can continue to stay ahead of your competition.
Now, listen, we talked about intellectual property. At the same time, we talked about products. Intellectual property is not necessarily products, but you can patent intellectual property.
Yeah, intellectual property. Patents in particular work very well for mass-produced products and things that are innovative and things that are better, cheaper, or faster than the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And we always have to strive to protect that. Now, intellectual property also encompasses copyrights, which covers the more creative matters such as books, music, software, many things can be protected by copyright. And then another area of intellectual property is trademarks. And trademarks are something that almost every company has that offers a product or a service.
So it's kind of interesting because we do a little bit of work with the Inventors Association, right? And these are the most creative, innovative, unique people, right? And they come sometimes with just ideas. Do they get involved with you at that point?
Yes. You should see your patent attorney as soon as you think you have something that might be an important part of your future business.
Mm.
If you spend money on research and development, you know about patents.
Yeah.
Now, I've always had the honor and the privilege of dealing with inventors, and it's always interesting. You never know what they're going to come in the door with. They usually come in with an idea, and you have to quickly understand what that idea is. And usually what you have to do is a novelty search to know that what they have actually developed is new. Because if it's not new, you'd be wasting your money to file a patent application.
You know, it's kind of interesting as you kind of move down this road and take it from here to there. You have a broad spectrum, I would suspect, of clientels. You'd mentioned that you've done things for Ford and General Motors. Those are the companies that have the machines that do the R&D, that kick out an idea, and then they come to Kevin Heinle's of the world and say, look, protect us on this because we don't want anybody else to have it.
Yes, but there are a lot of things that inventors can take advantage of in Michigan, innovation incubation center, incubation centers.
Sure. Tech transfer. Yep.
Universities are now becoming much more involved in obtaining patents, and it's a growing area.
Yeah, Yeah, it certainly is. Do you ever get involved in these companies too? I mean, I would think there was an opportunity there to say, you know, I might like a piece of this.
We don't usually invest in our clients because there's sort of a inherent conflict of interest there.
Ah.
Because you're advising them as to how to protect their inventions and you have all their confidential information. So usually we do not get involved in investing. However, Brooks Cushman has had considerable success with contingent fee litigation based on patents. And that's been that's something that not a lot of firms in the patent area do.
Yeah.
It's very risky, as patent litigation always is.
You have a best story, anything analytical or anecdotal?
Well, patent attorneys are both, they both enforce patents, obtain patents, and we also invalidate patents. And one of the more interesting and notorious cases I had was when Smucker's sued a company up in Albies, up in Gaylord, Michigan. They sued them for patent infringement for the crustless peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And they sued. This is the largest area, the fastest growing part of the Smucker's business at the time. And they were going after school lunches that would take these sandwiches.
Sure.
And with Albies, Albies got a contract out in the West Coast to sell these sandwiches, and they were sued. And what we did was we went back to the patent office and had the patent office take another look at it. And the patent office ultimately ruled that this was not the kind of patent that should survive, and they basically invalidated that patent.
Interesting. Great stuff. So there you have it, the history of the crustless sandwich. And Kevin Heinle, thanks for joining us down here. Of course,
thank you, Chris.
Attorney and counselor with Brooks Cushman. I'm going to be right back. You've got a whole lot ahead here on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Chris Holman. You're listening to the Michigan Business Beat.